Come with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition, the first of many.
Yes.
Yes, because we are back.
Back on a regular schedule.
For better or worse.
Except for one Thursday, one Wednesday this month.
Which is it?
Huh?
Which day?
20th?
I don't know. You have to tell me again. I've watched it.
Yeah.
Because I do things like that.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Oh, did you send it to me? And
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I probably will can look it up.
Okay. No, I'll send it again.
So I got the Ace Bailey look going on.
Oh, the... Wow, there's a reference. Yeah.
God bless his soul. He died in 9/11, you know.
Yeah, he was on one of the flights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. I liked him.
Ah, man, I loved him as a player.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, he was interesting.
Oh, it just got me get warm feelings about that team. Just that whole era of that team. They were so much fun.
Oh, was it? And that was the thing. I think that's the one word that describes it. Fun. They were so much fun.
They were a bunch of gronks.
Oh, they were. They were a blast.
Such a all I can think of whenever I think of those teams, the early 70s Bruins, it was just like swashbuckling. They were just characters.
Sanderson, Esposito, Cashman.
Turk was my favorite, yeah.
Yeah.
I always think of the story of them wheeling Cashman out of the hospital.
I didn't hear that one. I don't remember. What that was.
Well, he was in for something, some kind of surgery, and they took him out for Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
They just wheeled him out of the hospital into bed and down the streets of Boston. And it's like, that's what that team was all about.
Yeah, they were fun. So much fun.
Glory days of hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two decent goalies and Johnson and Cheevers.
And I hate those damn Canadians.
Oh, yeah. Those are good old days.
Remember those nights? People wore tuxes to the garden, for crying out loud, for Canadians games.
Well, anyway.
And by the way, I maintain this, and you have the reference too. I maintain this. We love the Patriots dynasty, of course, and Red Sox winning world championships. This town was never lit up like it was in the early 70s for the Bruins. That team was, they were gods.
You know what? I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, because I lived to a lot. So I lived to the exciting teams of the, you know, the Yastrzemski and.
We love the 67 Sox. Yeah, we love the World Series. Yeah. We love the Super Bowls.
Sparky Lyle and.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they talk about the pitch. I mean, he came a little later, but Louis
Tiant.
Al Tiante. Yeah. Oh, he was freaking awesome.
He was great.
Yeah. Pedro, of course, in the good days.
But this town was never lit up like it was with the 70 Bruins. 69, 70 Bruins.
I kind of agree with it. I mean, the Patriots, maybe because they were so good for so long that they don't have as much luster as those guys were, you know.
And I'm not knocking any of those teams. We were very excited about, obviously, clearly excited about the Patriots. We love the Patriots and we love the Red Sox when they win championships, not being the jerks they
Celtics.
Are now. Celtics, yeah. But that 70s Bruins team just had the whole town. It was just like, it was just amazing.
Yeah. So I put this on, right? And I was putting it on, and I looked, and I had a stain in the, I don't know, it was, looked like blood or something. I was going to cut myself shaving or something. And I washed it, but it didn't come out. So I flipped around. I got it on backwards, actually.
Okay,
so,
well, whatever works.
That's what I say. You can see the back anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so.
That's a guy's reaction. Women would laugh at us, but that's a guy's reaction.
Whatever. Women are strange. Oh, speaking about women. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
And I brought this up the other day with my wife.
Yep.
Who the hell figured out? Okay. They do everything the opposite of us. Why is that? Who sat around and said, okay, we got to do things differently? We button this way. They button that way.
Yeah.
You know, everything is opposite. It doesn't make sense. Why didn't somebody say, okay, let's just standardize all the buttons and make it all the same ways? No, but.
What happened there?
I don't know.
The button thing.
Who the hell did that?
I have done this at least twice in my life. I may not be recalling more, but I've bought jackets like in thrift stores that I really liked that turned out to be women's coats.
Because you'd be buttoning
them. And I go to button them and I go, wait a second.
the wrong way.
Yeah. What was the point of that? I'm not going to blame it on women, but
who did the buttons for us?
I don't know.
Is it a woman or a guy that invented it?
Who said, let's do it the other way?
Who invented the buttons?
I got no idea.
So somebody invented the buttons.
Yeah.
So it was buttoned, and they must have all buttoned the same way.
But was there an Illuminati meeting somewhere?
I don't know. When did somebody come up and the woman's suffrage is hiding in the back room and go up and say, hey, I know what. Let's make it go the opposite way because we are women. We are strong.
Well, that may not have been it.
I don't know how it – because the manufacturers had to do it too. I mean, originally, you know.
No, it was determined at some point that women's garments should button one way and men should button the other.
There's many other parallels like that too, by the way.
Yeah, give me one.
I can't remember. I know you're going to ask me that.
I'm sorry.
There are other parallels.
I'm sure.
Of that women do opposite the way we do. Even the way they do different things, they do them opposite for some particular reason. You know, I can't. Yeah, I wish I had more details.
I'll give you one. Cook spaghetti.
Yeah, there you go.
You don't put oil in the water. This is the biggest fight in our house.
Yeah, she does.
Jan does?
Yeah.
See, you don't put oil in the water. Hmm. Put salt in the water, and then you put the oil on afterwards.
Hmm, whatever. Little battle. That one I could give her rat's ass.
Yeah.
So anyways, I have a Dining with the Dead coming up on November 19th at the Haunted Village Inn. And I'll be doing a talk on Strange But True, I believe. And you can get tickets at anyghostproject.com, the letter N, the letter E, ghostproject.com. So anyways, I got a phone call, and they wanted to know about handicap and accessibility and everything else. So I checked with the village, and they are not, because the thing is upstairs, and it's an old inn. So I talked to the lady, and she has been a super big fan of this show.
Really?
Her name is, and you may know it, Debbie Sawicz, Sadzewicz.
Well, I may know it, but not in any of those mutations. So it...
She says that she went to your door one time and knocked on a door and answered the door.
Right. No, it wasn't my door. It was my sister's door.
Yeah.
She lives in the neighborhood. Yes. And she said she pronounced what a good fan of she is, a big fan of she is.
She has been listening to the show since 2010.
Yeah.
And she's was very upset that we moved from Mondays, by the way.
I got to change the slate. So it's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was at my sister's and I answered the door for some reason. It was her and she recognized me and we started talking about you.
Yeah. It's weird. Yep. Oh, she thought you were, he answered the door. He's a big celebrity, answered the door.
A big celebrity. Yeah. So. And I did not say anything bad about you.
Yeah. So I wanted to give a shout out to her because she is, and she's so excited we're back.
Excellent, Debbie. Thank you.
Yeah. She doesn't even have Facebook, but she found some secret way to get into that page and listen to the show.
Good for her.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Maybe she's on Toji now.
No.
Okay.
No. She just goes right to the Facebook page. Somehow she navigates her way through and does it. So
she do it yesterday when nobody could get on Facebook?
I could get her on Facebook.
You didn't have any problems yesterday?
I didn't say I didn't have any problems. Yeah. I just said I could get her on.
Yeah. Facebook ruined an hour of my life last night. Trying to get signed back in with two-step verification.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sign in on, get the verification code on another device that's logged in. None of my devices are logged in. You crashed and logged me out of everything. So I got nothing logged in right now.
I have no problem.
Good for you.
No. Yeah, it's karma, I guess. Anyway.
Karma is a great topic, by the way.
It is.
Especially, it would be great hearing it from our point of view and then hearing it from Dr. Kim Lin and the Daily Game Face, who did psychological science of karma.
Science of karma. I love that. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Science of karma. I heard that.
Like, psychological
stuff. Karma is a real thing. We can prove it.
I don't know if she said we can prove but it's a real thing. If you've lived long enough.
If you believe it, it's a real thing. If you don't believe it, it's not a real thing.
You don't believe karma is real?
I didn't say it one way or the other. I'm not adding my personal opinions to anything. I'm just telling you.
You don't believe your actions have consequences?
They should have consequences, but they don't have for a lot of people. Figure that out. And they always say, well, sooner or later. Yeah, well, sooner or later. Maybe when they're hell rotten, and that's when they get their karma. But even then, anyways.
Plus, karma works in mysterious ways.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Speaking about mysterious ways, I've got to tell you an interesting little story. Now, I don't know if it's paranormal or what, but it's certainly interesting. I like crossword puzzles. I'm not crossword puzzles. I do like crossword puzzles, but I do jigsaw puzzles in the wintertime.
Okay.
Usually, yeah, just find it, relax in the morning, have coffee or
sure.
whatever. I'll put in it, work on it for a little bit. So I haven't been doing it because my back has been crap. But I started again, and I did a puzzle, and I was near the end of the puzzle, and my son and his wife, I can say wife now, came over, and they were there, and he was looking, because they both do, Abby as well. So they were looking for a piece of border. I said, I can't find it. And it's just like, so they looked all over the place and couldn't find it. I looked all over the place and looked at, I mean, there was a few remaining pieces, not ton of remaining pieces, right. Enough that you could actually see them all without moving them. And we checked everything. We checked the board and everything. We couldn't find that piece. So next day, or actually I think it was that evening, I started putting the puzzle together and the piece was there.
Yeah.
There was only had a couple of pieces left because I had a couple and then bang, it was there. So then I says, that was weird.
Yeah.
So I called him. He says, the piece was there. And he says, it ain't there unless you had a ghost or something. And he says, you checked, I checked, Beth checked. I says, yeah, we did, but it was there. So anyways, I made that puzzle, and then I started another one. So same thing, got to the very end of it, and I was missing a piece of the border again. And I looked everywhere. I couldn't find a damn thing. So once again, I was completely finished or not? No, I wasn't completely. I still had a couple pieces left that I was doing. So, yeah, I grabbed one of the pieces, and it was the border. Hmm. So I went in. Okay, so you said, okay, yeah, I just missed it, you know. But, I mean, two examples, two borders, two observations. Now, fast forward, well, fast backward, to the bank I go to. There's a teller at the bank. Her name was Megan Corey, and she was always a big fan of mine. She bought all my books, and
nice.
We always talked and everything else and everything else. And I followed her on Facebook as well. She's because she followed me and yeah, whatever. Anyways, so the last picture I got from her was she used to do puzzles, and she would take the puzzles. I mean, her husband would steal a piece of the puzzle and hide it somewhere. So, and then she would find it and they'd complete the puzzle.
Yep.
So that was the last picture I saw of hers on Facebook. Well, she died.
Oh.
She died, you know, mysteriously. So this has been not real soon. It was, two or three months, no, more than 3 months, say 4 months ago, say. I'm not sure the exact time. And so I always wondered if she would come through on the red light seance that we held Stanley. Well, she's never done this, but I just came up with that, and I said, like,
think she's hiding the piece on you?
Maybe it's to let her know that, that she's there, that she wants me to talk. I don't know. It's just interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's just coincidence, too. But it's just intriguing, especially my son saying, well, you got a ghost. So anyways, I did want to bring that up. So I did finish that part on it. All right. Well, so
maybe you'll find out someday.
Yeah. So getting back to Debbie. She told me that she had a penchant of being able to say something, and then it would be repeated on either radio or the TV.
Really?
Yeah. So right after that, she would say something to her cat.
Yeah.
And next thing she would know is, I mean, she'd turn on the radio or have the radio on, the guy on the radio would say the exact same thing, or on the TV as well. So she asked me about it, And I said, well, you know, I'll bring it up in the show because that's a very good point. Most people don't really find that intriguing. They just think it's, you know, whatever, you know, interesting.
Yeah, I've never had anyone notice that happening to them before.
But it happened. Well, so when you think about it, what is premonition? When you have a premonition that something's going to happen, right?
Oh, you're looking at it the other way.
So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I was talking to Steve and I talked many times about the.
So she's thinking about her prompting the person on television.
Exactly.
Radio.
That's what that's she is. And that's, yeah. That, yeah. It's, well, not necessarily. She could be, well, anyways, let me give you a quick example. So Steve and I were talking about the early work at the Rhine and Xenocards. And Xenocards are, you've seen them on Ghostbusters. They're the ones in the very first Ghostbuster where the guy gives an electrical shot to the other student there.
Yeah.
And they have to identify what those are.
Yeah.
Well, they found out, they did a lot of tests, and there were a lot of people that, you know, got terrible marks. But then they looked at the tests closer, and they realized that they were actually reading the card ahead of them. So I brought a card up. Nope, that's wrong. And then the next one would be your last answer.
Oh, interesting.
So they found that it was a pattern that it could be. And when you think about it, you know, premonition, fortune tellers, yeah. The future, right? So in a way, she's telling the future of what is going to be said. And that she somehow is able to connect into the future.
Yep.
And realize what they got, the next words are coming out. So where's it coming to brain? I mean, because a lot of stuff is just crazy. She says it, but it comes through. I mean, the next person says it. So it could be several ways. One of them, she could actually be, you know, almost like hearing the future in a way. In other words, tapping in. Because those thoughts are already out there, you know, especially if it's on transmission on TV, you know, there's a delay anyway. So it would make it perfectly sense that she'd be able to pick up on it. Or is the person on TV somehow, that would be the least of the things because there's some, well, I don't know. You never know.
Yep.
Anyways, whether she's transmitting those thoughts or what. So it's intriguing. So it's a real thing.
She could just be involuntarily to it. Intuitive, involuntary.
So intuitive, that's what we basically talked about. It's called precognizant. You understand a future event or whatever. So if you're intuitive, you could be.
Yeah, I was just thinking about understanding what might be coming.
Yeah, that's what precognizant is. That's what precognizant is.
Yeah. Through reason as opposed to some.
Oh, not through reason. Just through. Yeah. Pre abilities.
Yeah.
I just I didn't get a chance to read it, but I saw an article on the interwet here and talked about we underestimate the power of the brain. And I thought that was interesting. I didn't get a chance to read it because it just popped up this morning. But I would be intrigued because we have so many things that they've tested, you know, everything from astral projection to what's the other one? Remote viewing. I mean, so many of those.
Oh, the men who stare at goats.
Men who stare at goats.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was a terrible movie.
It was a terrible movie.
But it was funny.
It had so much potential, too.
Yeah, I know.
Such a good subject with a good cast.
Decent cast, yeah.
Yeah.
Best part was the guy that walked through the wall.
Yeah.
First he bounced off it, remember?
Yep.
We were actually.
Have those studies been declassified? Has that work been declassified?
Do we know much about it? I'm sure it has.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember in my early shows back in the very beginning, I had Dr. Moody, not Dr. Moody. Who the heck was it? It's one of the guys that worked on the program. It was one of the big wheels on it, the Stargate program. And in fact, I had, Steve and I had on her. I show her his daughter as well. He was the one that coined the word Stargate too. So, yeah. But I mean, it's intriguing stuff. Ouch! Bats hurting.
Oh, sorry to hear it.
That's right. It is what it is.
I'll teach you. Just don't shovel anymore.
It was the Red Light Seance too, but that's another story. Okay,
yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that you got to do.
Ow, what is that? So, all right.
So, Debbie, thank you for saying hi and bringing it up. And
yeah. I mean, it's an intriguing thought. I mean, you
thanks for being a fan.
Definitely do, yeah. Become a Patreon member. Right?
Yep.
What are you, a Leo?
Have you ever had an experience like I'm a Leo, yeah.
Yeah. Do the legwork. This is your horoscope. Mm-hmm. Do the legwork required to understand the ramifications before making the decision that can alter your life.
Who?
Reach out to someone you can rely on to tell you the truth.
Wow.
You're going to lie on me, Lou.
That's ominous.
Yeah.
I don't even know what life-changing decision I'm facing right now.
I won't screw it up.
I'll try not to.
Anyway. Oh, happy birthday to your dog, too, by the way.
Damn, it was 7 yesterday, yeah.
7 years old.
Yep. So,
yeah, pretty good.
The Psycho Mini Aussie.
Huh?
The Psycho Mini Aussie.
Psycho Mini Aussie?
Yeah.
Is he that bad?
At times. Well, he's like all Aussies. He's a little psycho.
Mm. Anyway. Speaking about that, they have a site now.
As I put it, the damn dog, because I said I was never going to get involved with a dog again.
Like, yeah, I know. I said that about cats, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And keep it away from them. Yeah. Anyways, they actually have a site called Florida Man.
What?
FloridaMan.com.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. It's interesting. If we have time to show, maybe we'll peek into it.
Yeah.
Because it's always intriguing.
When I was doing the daily talk shows, we'd do odd news, and it was always a guy from Florida.
Oh, there's tons of them.
Yeah.
But there was some guy in Florida. He got arrested because he did a C-section on his bulldog. Needless to say, it didn't work out well.
He did a C-section on his bulldog.
Yeah.
Because the bulldog was struggling, or because he just decided, I'm going to do a C-section on the bulldog?
Look it up. I mean, it's on there. Yeah, just say Florida Man C-section.
What the hell?
Look it up. So, I mean, I didn't get into it. I mean, just looked at it a little
bit. Was it a hold my beer type of thing?
Take a look. Could be.
Hold my beer. I'm going to do a C-section.
I've seen doctors on TV. I'm more than qualified.
Wow.
So are you checking that or my...
Oh, you want to check it? Oh, yeah. We're going to go into it. Okay.
Yeah, we might as well look at it.
Thought you gave me that for later.
No, we can look at it now. Just look up Florida Man C-section and bulldog. It should be. But actually, I did put in Florida Man and it came right off the bat. But I'm curious myself because I didn't read the full article. I just stood there and shook my head with it. But yeah, so you see what his reasoning behind this wonderful
bulldog C-section planning tips. That's
okay. See, probably, probably Googled it.
At University of Illinois, anesthesia for cesarean sections in dogs. I got to put Florida Man in there because I'm getting all kinds of
good stuff. Getting good stuff, actually.
Oh, Florida Man avoids jail.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't put him in jail.
All right.
More they can say about the dog.
This is from WFLA.com.
Mm-hmm.
Florida man avoids jail after French bulldog dies during a home C-section performed by a fake vet. The following content contains disturbing details that may not be suitable for some viewers. We're not watching it.
We're not watching it.
Florida man will face no jail time after his French bulldog died in an at-home C-section was performed by a fake veterinarian and posted on social media in 2021.
Posted on social media.
On February 28th, the dog's owner, Larry Colon, was sentenced to 5 years of probation. Back in February of 2021, Colon and Frankie Hurtis Rivera were arrested after Colon's 15-year-old daughter posted a TikTok video.
Oh, my God.
Showing Hurtis Rivera performing a C-section on the Frenchie in the home's living room. The dog and two of her puppies died from the surgery. According to WESH, deputies in Cologne said Cologne paid Hurtis Rivera $650 in cash to perform the surgery, despite him not being a licensed veterinarian. Cologne had reportedly told Hurtis Rivera that he was a vet.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Isn't that you get what you pay for?
Exactly. Hurtis Rivera was arrested in 2021 for animal cruelty and practicing without a license. He was sentenced to a little over 2 years in prison earlier this month. Cologne, on the other hand, received a lightened sentence after being arrested in 2021 for an animal cruelty charge as well. Just 5 years of probation.
So he wasn't no pope either.
No, the dog was not properly sedated before the
operation. Oh, even better. Yeah. Jeez Louise.
Following the botched surgery, Cologne took the dog to the vet, but she was already dead when she arrived. The two puppies were unborn and still inside the dog.
They have the nerve to take it to the vet. Okay.
According to ESH, multiple puppies did survive the at-home C-section. The veterinarian advised Cologne get the surviving puppies assessed by a professional as soon as possible, but Cologne failed to do so. Vet stated that Cologne told him he knew Hertus Rivera was unlicensed and knew the surgery shouldn't have happened. According to the arrest report, the Lake County Sheriff's Office said Cologne was trying to save money and had Hertus Rivera perform a C-section.
There you go. Such good ideas.
Well, vet costs are...
Yeah, but still.
I'm not justifying anything. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not justifying anything. But...
So anyways...
honest to God, what are people thinking?
I know. So I got this cool book.
By the way, get the dog fixed.
I know. It's simple.
Yeah.
But he was on, they already arrested him on cruelty charges, animal cruelty before, so.
Well, you probably couldn't afford to have her fixed either. Yeah.
Jesus. So I bought this book, Unexplained Mysteries of the 20th Century.
All right. Excellent.
And it's eyewitness reports of different paranormal things and stuff.
The moon landing, flat earth?
No, real stuff.
Okay.
Real stuff. We landed on the moon.
I know we did.
Maybe. We just landed again, maybe.
Yep.
So, I mean, we can look at so many of these. I mean, I figured I'd go through them and find one that tickled your fancy.
Okay, excellent.
So
I get the pick.
You get the pick. Now you can do it by state, country, or what would you like?
Let's give me some options.
I gave you states and countries.
Oh, states and countries.
You name a country and a state, and
all right. Well, I got to go Massachusetts.
Really?
Why not?
All right.
Close to home.
I wouldn't have went. Ow! I'm making a lot of noise here.
Could go Florida.
You could go Florida.
Seeing we're having a Florida theme today.
Yeah. Maine. Maryland, Massachusetts.
Probably one we know, right?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them in here, okay. Actually. This Lawrence.
Lawrence?
Poltergeist outbreak.
In Lawrence?
Yep.
All right.
In October of 1963.
Really?
Mm.
Okay.
You want to see that?
Yeah.
So where's the freaking... Oh, shit. How do you find this thing? They gave me the things, but they didn't give me the...
Didn't tell you which page to go to or anything?
Oh, you mother. I can't believe they did that. How am I supposed to find it? Oh, that was not good.
So it's just all mixed in there?
Yeah. I mean, they don't give you the page to it. I'm all excited because it has the thing in the end of the book. It says... And I look it up. And
they have an index with no pages?
They have an index with... Oh, wait, but it does have the chapter. Except this one doesn't even have the chapter. Damn, we won't know about the wonderful thing.
Okay, we'll pick one that you got in front of you.
I'm trying to find one with a chapter on it. The little creeps. It's like none with chapter. What the hell did they put these in here for? I mean, there's some cool stuff in here. Indian head, scientists at the U.S. Naval Ordnance Stations, and others saw a spherical object moving fast between them in their jet plane in October 1966. I'll just go through some of them, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to do it. Okay. Boston, 88 miles southeast of the Boston lightship, captain of a fishing trawler saw a sea monster like a giant eel longer than his 136-foot boat.
Release the Kraken.
That was 1925. Sea monsters are real.
Oh, yeah. Well, the ocean's pretty unexplored, right?
Mm-hmm.
God knows what we're running to.
Near Bridgewater, numerous sightings of a 7-foot bear, or Bigfoot, type creature has picked up the rear end of a police patrol car in the dock, and the officers saw it running away. That was December 1969 and April of 70.
On the Bridgewater Triangle?
Yeah, pretty much.
By the way, people, speaking of you, on the Sicilian Corner last week, we had Tom Spitaleri.
Oh.
Speaking very highly of you.
Yeah, good.
Called you his mentor.
Mm, nice. Near Brockton, a small, like, ape-like creature was seen on an island in a lake called the Nip in June 1980. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these are pretty close. In Cambridge, a three-year-old child saw a ghost of her mother at the time of her burial in May of 1906. See, we talked about that before, though, right?
So the child saw her mother at the burial, at the funeral?
No, not at the funeral.
Oh.
At the time of her burial.
Oh, at the time. She wasn't at the funeral.
Evidently not.
Okay.
She was 3 years old.
Yeah.
That's just a little baby.
Yeah, no,
did you see, speaking about 3 years old, and God, this irritates the hell out of me. In Florida,
back to Florida.
Yeah. These two children, one was three and the other one's a little older, were digging a hole in the sand. They dug this hole like 6 feet deep, and it collapsed on them, and they couldn't save the little three-year-old.
Jesus.
What freaks the parents?
Yeah.
And, you know, if I saw someone, no, if it's over your head, you ain't going in there, honey.
So they were unsupervised for a significant period of time to dig that hole.
Oh, they were probably, might even supervised, and they didn't give a crap.
Okay.
You know what? Oh, have fun. You know, dig your hole. Oh, look at that. They got a nice big hole.
Getting started on Florida.
Yeah. Anyways, I love this one. A dismal swamp near where?
Near where?
Near where?
Yeah.
Where? Strange sightings of crocodiles 6 to 8 feet long in 1922.
Crocodiles?
Three crocodiles, 1 to 3 feet long, have been caught since the crocodiles were also caught near the Francodia Golf Course near Parma in July of 1937. We got crocodiles.
So they caught them.
They caught three of them. Now, this isn't weird.
Can crocodiles survive our climate? Do you know?
I didn't think they could because the reptilians are cold-blooded.
Right?
Yeah, they're cold-blooded.
Maybe they just freeze.
No, snakes can survive, but they can go on the ground.
Yeah.
I suppose. But they breathe. Crocodiles breathe, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because you can see people throwing crocodiles.
Yeah. Big cat scene near Frizzleberry. What the frick is Frizzleberry, Massachusetts? And why is it called Frizzleberry? Big cat seen in November 1944. Other reports come from Rehoboth, okay, 1972, and Touro in 1981. The old black cat thing. Sea monster, we know about that one. I'm going to skip over that. Here we go. Hockomock Sop. Giant snakes is seen. In 1939, in 1970, a motorist ran over an 8-foot boa constrictor.
Okay.
I guess we got all kinds of weird crap around here.
All right. This is from reptileknowledge.com.
Cool.
In colder climates, crocodiles may hibernate or seek out warmer areas to survive. Adult alligators can survive freezing conditions if they're in the water.
Oh.
Could an alligator survive a Michigan winter is the question.
Oh, yeah.
They can't survive Michigan winters, but every year gators turn up. Surprise in Michigan, where they've been found paddling along the Kalamazoo River, submerged in backyard ponds, or confined in basements, wandering along parking lots and roads.
Okay. I guess we have an alligator problem, a crocodile problem. I didn't realize it.
Oh, so one of the questions on this was, what's the oldest crocodile in the world? And they had Freshie.
Freshie?
Crocodile in captivity survived for 140 years.
Huh.
But did you see that?
Like Biden.
Do you see that whale?
They found the gray whale.
Some whale that was like almost 400 years old?
Oh, no, I didn't see that one. I saw the gray whale.
I didn't see that one.
It was supposedly extinct in the Atlantic.
Saw the headline, but I didn't read it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just found that. It was pretty cool. anyway. Well, right on the same thing. In Holliston, an 8-pound armadillo was found on the lawn.
Holliston?
In December of 1978.
Well, that's a pet who got out.
I think so. In Lawrence, poltergeist outbreak. We didn't. Why don't they have that on there? That's so interesting. I'm going to check that out. In Lee, poltergeist and anti-religious. Wait a minute. A poltergeist with anti-religious tendencies caused chaos in a household. Apparitions seen in 1981, and it has a chapter. Let's find this baby. I want to know how they knew it was anti-religious, right? I didn't realize they had agendas, but evidently we do.
Well, religion is anti-poltergeist, right?
I don't know. No, not really.
No?
Why would it be anti-poltergeist? It depends what a poltergeist is, I guess.
No, I thought ghosts weren't no ghosts and things like that.
Where did you get that idea?
I don't know.
Wasn't it the Greek religion, which is believed that the soul roams the earth for 40 days?
True.
No, I mean, there's references to ghosts all throughout the Bible. So, all right. So, did I find
including
this?
Including the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, that's just the terminology, though.
I understand.
But spirit, ghost, same thing. I agree with you, though. Okay, things go night and night. Poltergeist. Let me see if I can find actually the Lee one. Pinetown, Sergeant.
A lot of drinking in Lee.
Yeah. Is it?
Well, yeah. Kind of like Maine, only in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Kind of like upstate Maine, but only in Massachusetts.
Oh, Guy Playfair. Oh, that was interesting. Oh, yeah. That's the other one. That's the Brazilian one. Boy, I wish they would give you a stupid page number, this damn thing. I'm really irritated with this book. I'm looking for. I have to.
And it's silly. All these stories in there, and you can't.
And they're cool stories. See, they're all white. They have the actual. See, like this one here. At 9:45 on April 23rd, time and date. My sister says in a letter, the elder boy suddenly materialized in front of me in your doorway like a rubber ball. He looked bright but amazing, and said, I just come from Kajarjak. He didn't come through the door. My sister described the posture of the boy as having been mostly remarkable. Most remarkable. When she looked up from the letter, her letter writing, she saw him bending forward. Both hands were hanging from his sides, and the hands were hanging limp. His feet were not touching the floor. As she saw a distant space between his feet and the threshold, it was precisely the posture of a person who had been gripped around the waist and carried.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Therefore, makes no effort but to gently drop in his destination. That was referring to an event that was described by Miss Cohen. Somewhere. I mean, the book is good because it has actual, you know, eyewitness accounts, which is, you know, a great idea.
Yeah.
But
interesting anyway.
Eyewitness accounts are eyewitness accounts. They believe what they saw.
Right.
I mean, that's what ghosts are. And even Steve will tell you that. He believes that people see ghosts, that they believe that they see ghosts, mm-hmm. which is absolutely true. But anyway. I don't see anything here on this, and I'm not going to go. Oh, wait a minute. Whoop. So the inmates of this house have done nothing against me. I will not leave them alone unless they become Hindus. Oh, this is the one. Okay, this is it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Fine. Okay, let me get into the story now. Sorry about that. Sometimes tensions to be caused by religious conflict. A Catholic family living in Lee, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. were attacked in 1981 by a demonic spirit, which decapitated?
Wow.
Oh, which decapitated religious statues and threw a crucifix downstairs.
Yep.
It stuck a butcher knife into the kitchen table, Oh, okay. Boy. So that's that one there. In Switzerland, a poltergeist in 1914, also anti-Catholic. An 11-year-old boy suffering from convulsions and poltergeist-type phenomena occurred in his presence. The family tried to overcome it by the power of religion, which spurred the poltergeist even greater efforts. As a Capuchinian friar was pouring holy water into a stoop, the vessel broke with a stone, and a blessed metal fastened around the boy's neck, unfastened by itself. It was thrown in the air. The arrival of four more priests reading prayers and invocation failed to dispel the poltergeist, which continued to pelt the boy with stones.
Do you think there's a priest code, a poltergeist priest code?
Could be. In the case of the...
Code 32.
Yeah.
Everyone up here. Prayers. Bring your books.
Yeah, so it's... some of them seem to be interreligious. Some of us... some of the poltergeist written messages have been given, but read in part. Inmates of the house have done nothing wrong against me. I will not leave them alone unless they become Hindus.
They're blaming Hindus.
No, he says they want them to become Hindus.
The poltergeist, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I never realized that this is an interesting little tidbit. Anyway. All right, let's see what some of the other stuff is going on in Massachusetts. In live frogs and toads fell from the sky on September 1954.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You like these stories, right?
I love these stories.
Yeah.
Lowell, Mass.
Yep.
Old house haunted by ghost of a small boy in a sailor suit and a woman. In 1979. So the ghosts are around. Hot porous rock fell from the sky, making a hole in the ground in 1983 in Marshfield.
Okay.
In Medford, a 4-foot eel was found in the water pipe in an apartment building. Yeah, okay, I can believe that. Oh, Methuen. And we brought this, by the way, this next one. Which isn't here, but I'm not going to go try to dig it up. In Methuen, Massachusetts, Debbie said that this is one of her favorite stories. And we talked about it. The water spurted through the house. It was a water sprite.
Oh, interesting.
And wept from the walls and ceilings. So the house in Methuen had this water sprite that would just appear coming out of nowhere. And there was like no pipes in some of the walls. It was leaking. There was, you know, really? No rain. Yeah.
Yeah.
And supposedly the family moved to another place in Lawrence, and they still had that problem for a while.
The water sprite followed them.
Yeah, it seems appears so. Newburyport, your town.
All right.
Yep. A three-shot lived outbreaks of poltergeist phenomena. Strong winds, loud crashing noises happened in October 1901. In September of 1903 and November of 1904. In North Chelmsford, another shower of toads. North Reading, blobs of jelly-like goo was found scattered. I know what that is.
Okay.
Near Oak Bluff, a man saw a 30-foot luminous cylinder floating in the sea. It then ascended and illuminated the beach in the water. That was in 1979.
Wow.
Alcohol was involved.
Yeah, I would think.
In Quincy,
Massachusetts. That's usually the answer for most of these.
Yeah, I know we take it, but we don't know. Quincy, Mass. A mysterious animal has been seen near a stream in a cemetery in 1964.
Mysterious animal.
I don't know what the mysterious animal is. In South Ashtabaran, Betty Andreessen claimed to encounter a UFO, and entities took her into the UFO, and details came back under hypnotic aggression. Mm. Of course, it has. Sudbury. Sparkling stickle, sticky angel hair drifted into the sky.
Angel hair pasta?
And was witness saw a UFO moving off. And that was in 1973.
Where are you on UFOs? We don't talk about it much.
I don't. And in 19...
Nowhere.
In Sudbury, flaming basketball fell from the sky. And
flaming basketball.
Yeah. It must have been Larry Bird. And who's the other guy he shoots with? They have those shooting conches.
Dr. J?
Was it Dr.? No, it was... they had a commercial back. I think it was Nike. They used to try to beat each other's thing. They would bounce it off the thing. You know how you call the shots? Call the shots, yeah. I can't remember who it was.
Was it Michael Jordan? It wasn't Michael Jordan.
Was he around still then? I don't know. Anyway. In Grand Rapids, an old mansion haunted by the footsteps and other noises, the scent of roses by the ghost of an elderly man in a brown tweed. The first ghost was seen in 1976. Lewiston Township, a 6-foot creature, possibly a Bigfoot, through a German shepherd dog. Through a German shepherd dog.
Through it where?
I don't know, somewhere.
Okay.
In 1981. Picked him up and threw him, I guess. The dog maybe got too close. In Millington, a boy cycling home saw 3 Bigfoot walking beside the road.
Three. Multiple sightings.
One 14-inch footprint was found, and that was 1983.
Wow.
Oakland County, more alligators.
See, why do we hear more about that?
I don't know. This guy found
3 Bigfoot. What's the plural of big?
Oh, we already did that.
What?
We did that one time.
Collective nouns? I know that. But yeah, what's the plural of Bigfoots?
We did that.
The Bigfoots? No, not the collective noun, but if you have 3 of them, because we never see a sighting of 3. Are they big feet? Are they big foots? Are they big, 3 Bigfoot?
Bigfoot's a Bigfoot, so it's just the plural of that. Yeah.
And they had a footprint. This is 83. Thought we'd have heard more about that. That seems like a pretty substantial sighting.
Yeah. We have to take a break right now.
We have to take a break?
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. Let's ride.
We'll be right back. Following messages.
Do you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about? Then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Are you seeing a ghostly apparition every time you look in the mirror? Are you terrified to realize that that pale, lifeless, lack of energy form hovering before you is in fact you? How would you like to be transformed? Healing begins from within, and it's never too late to start feeling good. Are you curious? Interested? Good. Don't wait another minute. Visit transformyourlifenow.org or contact Maureen. The email address is maureen@transformyourlife.org.
Everyone is cashing in on social media, and all marketing roads lead through social media. If you want to make a splash here in the Merrimack Valley, you need to tap in. This is where the new CEM Podcast Studios come in. Of course, you can spend your time, energy, and money learning how to wrangle technology to make a podcast instead of running your business. Or you can invest in telling everyone in the Merrimack Valley, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, the Seacoast, or everywhere in the world about your great business, product, service, or yourself. The CEM Podcast Studio is a local audio and video studio dedicated to the craft of podcasts. Their studios feature state-of-the-art recording and mixing equipment designed specifically to produce the best audio and video podcasts. Best of all you need to worry about is your show, your business, and your brand. We do the rest. Call 978-686-9966. That's 978-686-9966 to schedule a no-obligation tour of the CEM facilities and meet with a podcast specialist. Or go to cempodcast.com to find out more about podcasting services. cempodcast.com, your window to the world.
We're back.
We are?
Yes.
Hey, I changed. this is kind of interesting. Yes, Struzis. Two women driving at 3 a.m. Alcohol is definitely involved. Sorry, strange phenomena. Brown, a rain of brown slime.
Ooh.
The smell of rotten eggs. The car engine stopped. And millions of small rays of light flashed reddish fluorescent in the sky. Grass standing straight up and glowing, and the lines of the car showed it like an aurora on it.
Wow, that's weird. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not feeling too good.
Yeah,
so
you're going to be okay?
Not sure.
We can wrap.
Let's suck it through. I don't know this stuff. Actually, why don't we do Florida Man so I don't have to read? Maybe that's.
Do Florida Man?
Yeah.
Is there a site, Florida Man?
Yeah, floridaman.com.
Floridaman.com.
Let's check that out and see what's happening in Florida. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm just feeling very dizzy.
Okay, let's website. We'd like to send you push notifications. No, we're not going to allow that.
Mm.
Florida Man arrested. I can't do it. I can't do it. Do you want to hear Florida Man arrested for pooping on an opossum in public?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do that?
I don't care.
Okay. That's the headline.
We may have to wrap this, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Want to wrap? Let's just wrap.
Let's just wrap the show right now.
All right.
You've been listening to Ghost Chronicles on the net.
We'll
thank you for listening.
From ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.